Hi, my name is David Kirchen, and welcome to the podcast, Winning Sales Conversations. Each week, we'll be exploring different elements that go into high-value sales conversations. And the content will come from accomplished sales professionals and leaders, as well as from some of the books that I read about behavioral psychology that was used in creating the principles and techniques that we teach at Master Messaging. These books and authors are some of the most highly regarded experts in behavioral psychology, specifically around how human beings make decisions. Hey, this week, I have the pleasure of speaking with Neil Anderson from A5 Advisory. Hey, Neil, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, David.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with one of the questions that I love asking guests on the show, and that is, how did you get into the sales profession? Because most sales professionals that I speak with, it's typically not something that they decided in high school, hey, I'm going to be an accomplished sales professional. So how did you find your way into the sales profession?
I think like a lot of the salespeople that I work with, sales leaders that I work with, I wandered into it out of something else. So I spent years in the food and beverage industry and had the opportunity to join a sales organization that was a beverage distributor here in Georgia. And that was the beginning of my sales career. And I thought I was a great salesperson. What I found out was when you show up with beer, wine, and liquor, everybody likes you. There's not a whole lot of selling that happens. I was a demo expert. And so that led to a path that took me to a program where I actually got a degree in professional selling. And at the time, this was back in early 2000s, there was only four schools that were offering a professional sales degree. Kennesaw State here in Georgia was one of those. And so I went through that program, and that led to some consulting and some advisory work that I did, and then building out some sales organizations and transitioned into a whole nother phase of my career in selling and sales leadership. So that was how I kind of stepped into that, was, I wouldn't say by accident, I definitely chose to follow that path, but took me down a path that I didn't foresee 15 years before or 15 years out. I didn't see how that would unfold. And it's been a great path and career ever since then.
What are some of the more enjoyable or successful stops along the way? Some of the roles that you've held or performed in?
Yeah, I've always enjoyed the coaching and mentoring. And so one of the big stops I had was working with Sandler Training, did about 2.5 years with them. Coaching and training with Sandler, learned a lot there. And I think what I liked most about that is the fact that I wasn't doing a particular role for one company. I was doing multiple things with sales organizations, sales leaders, CEOs, with dozens and dozens of companies. And I think that for me was the driver, was understanding those businesses, not just the sales side of it. It was through that sales lens. But understanding their business and their challenges as business owners or business leaders, sales leaders, and everything from technology sales to service sales to car and pool sales. I've seen a little bit of it all. So I really enjoyed seeing the various types of businesses and the different challenges that each one has trying to sell into a market.
Yeah, I can only imagine that the variety was very engaging. Not just focusing on one vertical or one industry. Mm. So what's one thing that you really enjoy about the sales profession?
I think it's, you know, as I mentioned, I think it's understanding how businesses run, how they make decisions, how leaders push through the challenges that leaders have of how do I get from here to there with the three people I have when I know I need five people, with this set of resources, when I know that more could be available or should be available, how do we do that? And just understanding the different industries that are out there and how wildly different they can be in some aspects and how incredibly similar they are in others. You're a sales trainer, you see the same things pop up all the time. You see the same stories play out, but you also see, you know, different components that are different from market to market or product to product or service to service. And I really enjoy understanding and learning about that.
So let's focus a little bit more around sales leadership and sales coaching. So same question. Obviously, sales leaders have a myriad of responsibilities in their role. There are a number of things that we may like or may not like. So what's the thing that gets you energized as far as being a sales leader?
I've been one. And I will say that it is one of the loneliest, toughest jobs out there. Sales is hard. There's a reason that compensation plans compensate the way they do. Sales can be an incredibly tough job to do. Sales leaders tend to be left on their own. They take the people who were good at figuring some things out and they elevate them to the status of leader and say, go do more, but do it through 5 people or 10 people or 3 people or whatever it is, without a lot of resources on that. And that's been my motivator, is knowing what it's like to have 1,000 questions and maybe not have a sounding board or toolkit that's easily accessible to help you through some of those challenges of growing from a great salesperson into a sales leader.
Yeah, the sales leadership role, obviously there's a lot of pressure. The company organization looks at that person as being responsible for the lifeline of the company, that's its revenue. If you had a number of sales leaders sitting here today, maybe individuals that are looking to get into the sales leader role, is there one piece of advice that you would leave with them or give them as they make a transition, maybe from an individual contributor into a sales leader?
I'll tell you, the first question I ask the salespeople that I've worked with that say they want to become a leader, my first question is why? What is it you really think is on the other side of the fence or at that level that is going to fill your cup a little bit more than what you have now? Because usually it's not money. You have more opportunity a lot of times as a salesperson and a lot more flexibility. What I'm typically looking for are some of those characteristics of good leaders. You know, we've all seen the stories of professional athletes that were great on the field or great on the court, but they don't make great leaders. And we all think that that's the next progression and we need to do it. And some of the happiest people I know, and for me, all of this is about just being a little bit happier every day. We've all seen those leaders that thought that there was a little more happiness at a different level. So just understanding that why they want to do it, and that answer is a little bit different for everyone. And are they wired for the process that need to happen to be successful as a leader versus as a salesperson? And that tends to be one of the biggest challenges that I deal with, is the sales leaders I work with are often still wearing the hat of top salesperson. And they come in and they're kind of carrying the bag for some of their team, and they're telling them how to do the job versus coaching them into being better salespeople. So making sure that they're wired for all of that and they really understand what they're getting into.
All right. Obviously, the show's title is Winning Sales Conversations. So it's important to understand from your perspective, what are some of the things that go into, from your experience, that go into a winning sales conversation?
I would break that down into, I would come at it this way. I think the sales reps that have the winning conversation, some people are a little more natural at this, and some people aren't, is understanding what is the sale that's in front of me. Most companies and teams are led through, what have you done for me today or this week? What clients are going to close business today, right? And it starts with the metrics of quota or revenue recognition. And it strips out, I think, a lot of the smaller sales that need to be had. And so you'll understand this, that in the sales process, there's dozens or hundreds of small sales that have to happen. We have to get another group inside this organization involved so we can create budget. We have to get the user group of this involved in a way and understand what their pain points are so that we can put together a good demo. We have to work with the leadership team to understand what this process is going to look like. And that would be my one piece of advice, I think, is understanding that there's dozens or hundreds of small sales that happen in a sales process. And if you can look at it that way and you get 90% of those sales closed, you're probably going to have a deal. And it rewards you a little bit along the way if you're winning those little pieces and those little steps and you look at it that way That's the most helpful thing I've found. It's not quite as simple as that always, but breaking it down into the small steps and calling those sales and understanding that everything is a sale.
So Neil, obviously there are a lot of things that a sales professional has to do in their role. What do you think is one of the biggest challenges that they face in today's world, and a piece of advice that you would share to help them overcome that?
Yeah, I think especially for those sales reps that are working full cycle sales, where the role isn't broken into BDR, appointment setter, demo team, and closer. I think in a world today that is filled with automated and every other type of outreach that's out there, I think that's one of the biggest challenges is how do I get in front of and stand out so that we can start a conversation. Most sales reps that I know, there's always struggles in the sales process once you engage, but getting engaged and getting in front of a prospect is one of the toughest things to do right now, just because there's so much content and so much automation out there, just keeping things in front of everyone. So how to separate yourself and how to stand out so that you can start those conversations. As far as how do they do that and how do they stand out? You know, you've got to have a great message that differentiates you from the others. I don't think that it's a lot of clients I work with believe that if they had this technology or that technology, if we could only do more video, I don't think that's it. Because, you know, as a business owner, I have plenty of sales conversations from prospective vendors that come to me. And it's those that stand out with a simple, succinct, honest message to me. There's no tricking me into a phone call. And I think those tricks that we see every day in our inbox just don't work. So coaching them through some of that is, I think, one of the key things that we focus on is how do we stand out? How do we help them get in front of their prospective clients in a better way?
Okay. All right. So around the topic of coaching, obviously sales leaders, as we've already discussed, have a number of responsibilities. One of those is coaching the sales team that they're leading. From a coaching standpoint, where do you think sales leaders should spend the majority of their time? And what are the techniques or what are the activities that they can do to really impact the sales team and their corresponding performance?
Yeah, great question, because I see this a lot. I think there's a lot of coaching that happens, but what I see happening with sales leaders that I work with a lot is they're doing deal coaching, and they're not doing sales coaching or individual coaching of the person. Having them practice different approaches that keep them out of situations or help them progress things in a different way or open up those client relationships in a different way, it is deal coaching. How do we get from here to there? And helping them understand the difference between deal coaching and people coaching. I think it's incredibly important for them to see that.
Can you give me an example?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the first things we usually do is as an assessment when we're working with a sales leader or a sales team or organization is listen to some calls, and those, not just the sales calls, but the team calls. What are they doing for forecasting? How are they doing their deal calls? How are they doing their business reviews? As an example, what I typically see is a lot of telling from the sales leader to the salesperson of what their next step should be. And that's not coaching. You get that. I get that. And the sales leaders get that when they step away and they look at what they're doing, when they get up on the balcony a bit, right? Look down at the business as a whole and their practice as a whole. They see some of that they're giving the answers, they're feeding the answers. And, you know, you and I see that with salespeople when we're coaching and training them, is that the salesperson's listening so they can answer, right? And I think it's the same exact thing with sales leaders, is they're listening so they can tell. I can tell you what to do. I can tell you how to do it better. I can tell you who you need to call. I can tell you how you need to say that in that email or in that proposal. And that does not create self-sufficient salespeople. And that's really the goal, is that, you know, I think the best sales leaders have more time on their hands than the ones that don't, because they have coached a team and their players into more self-sufficiency. And they can build their own territories and they can, you know, plan ahead properly and they can work deals, not without help, but much in a much more self-sufficient way than others. And that's what I see as the differentiator in the salespeople and the sales leaders who can coach to that to help them get to that stage where they're more self-sufficient.
Yeah. In my experience, obviously in master messaging work with, you know, hundreds of companies. And one of the things that stands out in creating success from a consulting and coaching and training standpoint is bringing sales professionals back to a principle. Because if they understand the principle, they can figure out how to apply that in their world. If I just tell them, for example, if I just tell them, here's a succinct statement or message that's rightly going to communicate your value. So this is what you need to use going forward. When they run across a different persona or a different client where that statement or that message doesn't fit, then they have to come back to either the sales leader or the coach and go, okay, I've got a new persona, new industry. How is the message now? What does it sound like now? So instead of that, if they understand, well, value is perceived in a contrasting worldview, and it's up to you to create that contrast around this is what the prospect world looks like today, versus this is what it could look like if you were using our product. If they understand that principle, then they can figure out the right message going forward. So yeah, I absolutely agree with what you're saying. It's not so much about telling salespeople, hey, this is what you should do. You should give them the underlying principle and technique, give them an example of how that works, and then coach them to getting better at applying that in their own world.
Just one of the processes we use that applies that, and I like that idea of applying principle, is the simplest format of coaching is awareness, practice, extension. We become aware of something new or something that it may not be new. We just become aware that we're doing it or not doing it, right? Awareness alone will drive a new practice. And if we observe that, there will be an extension in our day-to-day business or in our lives, or in our relationships, whatever that is. And that's the simple process that I like to use, is asking questions to make people aware. That awareness will lead to another practice, and then the extension is what it is, and we observe that. And to your point, if you can give people a principle, they will observe, and they will start to do the different things. We don't have to over-explain a lot of times. They'll take the reins and they'll start to see that. And they'll evolve in a different direction as they learn from themselves.
So as a final question, just in way of wrapping up, I wanted to give you an opportunity to speak to what you guys are doing at A5 Advisory. And given what the audience just heard as far as this principle of creating value, what are the common challenges that you're helping your clients overcome? And what is it that they can do today better or differently as a result of working with you?
Yeah, at A5, we spend a lot of time understanding what's really happening without spending too much time. One of our clients that we worked with was about a 6-week engagement. We do something, I think you've seen this as our reality map. We go in and we do an assessment across the organization and top to bottom in the organization. And we analyze that. Take a look at when we ask a series of questions. Why is it that the marketing team says one thing and the sales team says another? Or why is it that sales leadership has one opinion of something where the frontline sales team has a very different opinion of that? We correlate that. And it takes, you know, 4 to 6 weeks to organize the survey and do some one-off interviews. I think that's the biggest thing we do, are the assessments and the gathering of information and understanding from an outside set of eyes, so that they understand where some of the struggles might be in the organization that they themselves can't see, so that they can address it. And again, it's an awareness tool. Once you're aware of it, you can practice something else. And it's, you know, it tends to be quicker, faster than your typical consulting engagement that might take months and months. It certainly costs less than a lot of those. And I think that's the big benefit, is where do we need to look inside the organization to make some decisions. It's less about what is the decision, the right or wrong decisions. It's where do we need to look and where are the blind spots that we don't see. And that's where we do a really good job, I think, of stepping in and helping them assess that and understand some of those blind spots and how to go about changing some of those things in the organization, whether it's communication or operation or people.
Yeah, I love that, because having worked with a number of consultancies over the years, they can come in and really try and boil the ocean. And it could be months or maybe years that you see the tangible impact of what they're doing on the sales organization. And what you're describing is really a much quicker approach as far as getting in there, understanding what the challenges are, and then creating some immediate success and being able to focus on those specific challenges. Well, Neil, hey, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. I so much appreciate your time. And I want to thank you. And for those folks that want to learn a little bit more about A5 Advisory, you certainly can go to a5advisory.com, or you can reach out directly to Neil and learn a little bit more about what they're doing and how they're helping sales teams. So Neil, thank you again for being on the show.
David, always great to talk to you, and thanks for having me on the show.
Let's see.